The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Yvonne Redden, good morning to you, Yvonne.
How are you, Ryan? I'm delighted to be on your show.
Well, I'm delighted to talk to you. And thanks for your lovely message that you sent in to us about life in the community. Tell us a bit about yourself and why you did get in touch.
Well, I wanted to get in touch. Basically, I wanted to talk about the value and importance of community centres in communities in general.
Yeah.
Because I just feel they're very underrated and people don't know enough about what they offer. And they're for everybody. And I actually teach in one at the minute in Ballybracket Place. It's a centre called SWAN. It's Southside Women's Action Network.
Yep.
They're part of a huge, big project nationwide. They have 17 projects. And I do a creative writing course there. And I do a voluntary. And sometimes you only have to pay a little fee of €5. Just to tell people in communities that there is these services there. A lot of people don't actually know they're there. And I think it's for support. And especially now, the way things are at the minute, everyone's been advised to work from home. The kids could be off school longer. I think people need to turn to somewhere for information and not just get it from social media, because that's causing a moral panic.
Yeah.
You know, and get the right information from the right place.
Humans so talking to humans. Shock.
And not robots.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know? I hear you.
And they're not getting the right information, and people are getting scared, and rightly so, but get the information from the right place. And community centres would be detrimental to that.
Tell us about yourself, Yvonne.
Yeah, God, where do I start?
I don't know. Start at the beginning and we'll see where we go from there.
It'll take a lot longer than 10 minutes or so, Ryan.
Okay.
Well, I suppose I have a background. I was away in Australia for 9 years. I came back 15 years ago. And I came back, I was kind of fairly depressed. 6 months after I was home, my mother got Alzheimer's. A month after that, my dad with throat cancer.
Oh,
so I found myself in a very low place. And I had a three-year-old son as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of needed something to get me out of that and to get going. And I went looking for a course. And I found one in Dunleary College, a further education journalism course. I was always interested in papers,
How
they're put together, human stories.
Brilliant.
Stories in general. I love it.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has a story to tell.
For sure.
So I did a course there. And I went down and did another year there. There was a link. And then they were very supportive. The teachers were amazing. I can't say enough about further education teachers. They're brilliant.
Great.
And they got me a link into DIT in Angel Street, where I continued on and got a degree in journalism. So at the tender age of 40, might I add.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a late bloomer. But I mean, I found what I wanted to do, but later in life. And then a year after that was my graduation. And 2 months after my graduation, I found I was pregnant with twins.
Right.
So after all that hard work, I was like, oh my God. And I'm still in shock over it, you know. And I already had one child, and then I was going to have twins. I mean, how did that happen?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God. So the shock, I was shocked, I have to say. I had my twins at 42, and they're six now. That was 6 years ago, yeah. So I was a late bloomer.
Oof, I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
I know, I know. That's what I'm only touching on it, literally.
And how were the twins? I mean, was it a tale of two cities, or were they both the same?
They are the tale of two cities, for sure. Oh, my God. You know, they always say twins are rated the same and similar. Mine are completely different. It's just like having two different children. Completely different personalities,
yeah.
To say the least. So they are special, of course. But they're completely different characters. They're not alike at all.
And which one do you prefer?
Ah, don't do that.
Okay, so you found yourself
the boy,
with...
The boy.
The natural son and heir.
Ah, stop, yeah. No,
so you have the twins.
Yeah.
You've got your eldest. And
He was 11 at the time. I had an 11-year-old. He's 17 this year. He's 18 this year. So I had an 11-year-old. Found myself with twins. I knew my relationship with the twins' dad wasn't going to last, and it didn't.
Okay.
I knew deep down I was going to be lone parenting, which I have been doing 95% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really, really, it was a struggle, you know, and I just want to say to people out there who may be in the same situation I was in, staying at home. I mean, I did isolate myself purely because I had to. The thought of going outside the door, I didn't drive at the time, was just too daunting for me, bringing two kids in a bulky pram, getting on a bus. The bus was full. There was a pram on already. They wouldn't let you on. It was all these little dilemmas that just made me want to stay in more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the more I stayed in, the more I got too much into myself and isolated myself.
Yeah.
Maybe too much.
You self-perpetuate, you know? the need to be alone.
Yeah, mm. I think so. And it was only because I had to, and I was exhausted, and I was going through such horrendous times with sleep, with training, with all the things that you go through with babies. And I always remember my sister saying to me, you have to get yourself back out there. You have to get out and socialise. But I just couldn't. I just couldn't.
Okay.
So I set up a blog because I love writing about my own experiences and being truthful about it. I used to go to parks and ask other mothers, how are you getting on? And they'd be saying, I'm grand. I'm going, you're not grand. I said, you know, I could have been an extra for the Walking Dead series. I looked like a zombie. I was knackered. You know, and I think people need to be more truthful and honest about how it really is. And I was. So I set up my own blog and it's called sleepingwiththedishes.com. And I have a Facebook page that links in with that. Just about my own experiences with toilet training, with fussy eating, with no sleep. My daughter screamed for about a year. I didn't sleep for 6 months to a year. You know, just all about that stuff.
And that's, and it's called Sleeping with the Dishes?
It's called sleepingwiththedishes.com.
Yeah, okay.
It's a pun off sleeping with the
dishes. No, I know what it is. I mean, it's not that I know what it is. I just I just admire your puttery.
Yeah,
your punmanship is impressive.
Yeah. And I love thinking that, thinking of puns and thinking of headlines and stories. The journalist.
You've got you obviously have journalistic blood flowing through your veins, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I think so. Love it, yeah.
So you take us then from the blog. That obviously helped you like shine a torch out of the darkness then a little bit.
Yeah, it did. And there was, you know, I felt that there was no light at the end of the tunnel, basically. But I have to tell people that there is. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that already from having a child, that it does get better. But when you're in that hole and you just can't get out of that bubble of pure exhaustion and overwhelmment as well of having two new babies to look after, you know, you have to find another way to get support if you don't have enough, you know. And I had to find another network of friends that understood what I was going through and understood the black circles under the eyes, understood the food all over my jumper. They didn't have to ask questions. So I did.
Yeah.
And when the kids turned three, they went to creche for the, you know, the free ECHI scheme that was available. And to me, that was just heaven. I had 3 hours available in the morning to just get my head together. And I approached the manager in the local creche they went to about, was there a support group there for parents like myself? And there wasn't. So I helped set one up with another lady who I met called Deirdre Brennan. She will be a friend for life. And I met this lady. We don't see each other a lot, but we ring each other once a week to check in on each other, see how we're doing. She's a parent and alone as well. Mm-hmm. Two beautiful children, Carol and Rosalind. I just had to say their names because I said to them I would.
Good.
But, you know, this is what you do. You have to go out and find a new network of friends, unfortunately. Because your older ones have gone through the parenting thing. They're nearly there. Mm. I was starting again and my friends were nearly finished.
Mm.
It was a tough one and I knew I had to do something. So the parent group we set up, it was very hard to engage people in the community. We set up, we had pamper days, we had raffles. You had to dangle a carrot to get people in. And I just don't understand that, why people needed that to come into a community centre to find support. And it still baffles me. You know, I teach a class, I have two students, but I go every week and I do a voluntary because people are coming to learn and I'm a teacher and I want to do teaching in community. I feel drawn to that area. So, but I don't know why people don't see the importance of these community centres.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe there's a sense that people see the dark circles under the eyes and the food on the jumper. No. I'm actually being serious. I think they see the people, and I'm talking about the people with the dark eyes and with the food. They might see it as a weakness and as failure, and they don't want to share that with other people. And actually, they should be marks of honour because, you know, you're bringing up a child and you're doing it on your own or with somebody. It doesn't matter. It's a huge thing to do. But there is a sort of, and I don't think there's anything to do with an online thing. I'm not getting into that now. I think in life there is a kind of competitive snobbery in terms of not wanting to admit that everything isn't quite what it seems.
Absolutely. But I found writing about it for me was my form of counselling. I mean, I'm a good talker now, but I probably didn't talk enough. I mean, you know, and the writing, I think, got me through. Writing about it on my Sleeping with the Dishes blog, I don't have loads of followers. But I just got it up there. I got it off my chest.
What's social prescribing? Your friend who's a nurse. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So my friend I was talking about earlier on, Deirdre Brennan, she's a nurse. She's trying to get back into working and education. Education's empowerment. I can't go on about it enough. It's brilliant. She's trying to do the same with her nursing. So she was doing a course and they had to do a presentation. She asked me to help her put a PowerPoint together because I love doing all that.
Good.
And I said, okay, great. What do you want to talk about? Tell me a bit about it. And she was telling me about social prescribing. Basically what it is, you know, when you go to your GP and the GP will probably prescribe, I don't want to say this, but maybe antidepressants.
If you're bad,
You might not need that. Yeah, exactly.
If you're feeling bad.
But this social prescribing is the GP actually prescribing you to go to your community centre in your local community and see what's available there. Join a course. Get socialising. Get mingling with somebody. And they've piloted it here, I think, already. I've looked it up. And it's working. Instead of going to down the road of tablets or whatever, go and do something. Join a group. Talk to people. It's the old back to basics of talking, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what social prescribing is.
Okay.
And it's all community based, yeah, as well.
And community is the word, and because community, some words can be a bit abstract. It's a word I use a lot when you say community. It's kind of, what does that mean? But actually, it just means being civil and being kind and giving a damn about that person across the road who's 88 and who seems hale and hearty, but just saying, I'm going down. Do you need toilet paper? You know, do you need some hand sanitizer? You know, it's that basic human interaction.
And especially now, checking in on your neighbours, checking in on mums on their own, checking in on the elderly, call in with a box of tea bags. People will be delighted. You know, you don't know. And people might be able to get out to hear about what's going on globally with coronavirus. They might just need a little bit more information. So it is, going back to basics, calling in on them people that need it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, somebody says you should be appointed the Minister for Children, Families and Mental Health. But obviously, you know, you sound like somebody, like one of those active citizens. And by those, I mean people who care about the world, the country, who would love to be involved. I mean, I'd love to see you in local politics, for starters. You should run for council in some shape or form and work your way up. Yeah, I mean, I think you're totally articulate. You give a damn. You've got the social service in your running through your veins. So think about it, will you?
I sure will, yeah.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think you should. It's good to talk to you, Yvonne.
Thank you. And hopefully we'll talk again, Ryan. That'd
you know we will. You know we will, for sure. And this is the beginning of our conversations.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to get in touch with me, I'm on LinkedIn. And my email is yredandone@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I'm open there. Contact me wherever way you want to.
And you're
Facebook
in Ballybrack, Killiney, that
I'm
part of town.
I'm in Ballybrack, Killiney, I'm around, I'm a local girl, And I don't mind talking about everything. Sharing your story. Sharing is caring. My sister always said to the kids, sharing is
that's
caring.
The truth.
And it's the same with stories. If you can help somebody with your story, that's really what I'd love to do.
Sounds good to me. Yvonne, it's a real pleasure talking. Do you mind yourself and your gorgeous kids?
Thank
and we'll see you soon.
Ryan.
Okay,
thank
bye
you.
For now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Yvonne.